Podcasting 2.0 for November 18th, 2022, episode 111, Pod Molly. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the weekly board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. It's here that you find out what's going on. It's here that we find out what's going on. That's why it's a board meeting. Let's all report to each other, see what's happening at podcastindex.org, the namespace. Lots of development going on with PodPing and, of course, everything happening that's being discussed at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. Ladies, he's the dream of the Mastodon scene. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm just going to go ahead and take a victory lap on this Mastodon thing.
Yeah? Oh, it's It's sticking. It's sticking. Yeah. You know what? You know who's sticking?
Kind of sticky, huh?
You know, are you going to rub it in my face? Okay.
Yeah, I am.
You know what's been fascinating to watch? It's journalists who are sticking. They're setting up their own instances, and they're doing all kinds of, you know, and they're trying to figure it out. And you know, you listen to journalists speaking on different podcasts, and there's definitely a lot who are saying, well, it's really unusable. You know, you have no algorithm. You can't trick the algo and you're getting everybody to see my stuff. So it's useless. It's useless, I tell you. But then you see and this is very much like one of my favorite news podcasts is called The News Agents. I think we've talked about it.
Never heard it.
Oh, it's a bunch of British journalists who are well-known journalists who've, you know, interviewed the big ones of the earth, and they kind of discuss the news with some, you know, maybe they have a little snippet of an interview or some reporting from one of their people on the scene or whatever. But it's basically just a conference call, and they talk about what's happening from their perspective. So it's kind of the stuff that you would never hear about. It's happening in the newsroom, and it's, because it's British politics, it's fun because, you know, I have a lot to learn. This, you know, American politics, British news, I should say. And so that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting from these journalist groups who are setting up their own instances.
From the journos?
Yeah, journo.host, I think, is one. Mm-hmm. And it's the typical schmucks who are driving it. And, you know, all props to Jeff Jarvis. If you said show me a schmuck, it's Jeff Jarvis. I don't know why. I don't know the man personally. I think I've been on a show with him, on a panel with him once.
What is the definition of a schmuck?
Schmuck.
I mean, like, what does that actually mean? Well, does that have a real, like, a real definition that goes back in time?
Well, consult the book of knowledge.
Okay. Let's see, schmuck definition. Here we go. A foolish or contemptible person is the first definition that pops up.
It sounds like it's Hebrew in origin, like it's a Jewish
term.
Oh,
no. Schmuck. Yeah. Well, Yiddish, I would say.
Yiddish, yes.
100%. Do not be the poor schmuck who runs out of gas and is stranded when a natural disaster is about to hit. Wow. That's a pretty clear definition right there. Or be
That's not what you want to be. And don't be the poor schmuck who runs his own Mastodon server with only like 10 gigs of disk space.
Well, everyone's going to learn. And there's services. I mean, we've been running on masto.host since day one. And, you know, I upgraded to bigger services and searchable because, you know, of course, you got to pay for more CPU power and some disk space. But we've got a nice little community. What do we have? Maybe 1,000 people on the, how many people do we have on the instance?
More than that.
Oh, really?
No, it's more than that. I think it's like, let's take a look. It was like 1,200, I think.
Okay. You get much bigger, like No Agenda is capped at 10,000, and it's real work for Matt. You know, he's doing real work, keeping that thing running, making sure there's no, you know, the vulnerabilities, because of course there are vulnerabilities always.
Yeah, it's a full-time job shoved into a part-time job.
Pretty much. Yeah, into a hobby, more or less.
Into a hobby.
Yeah. But, you know, the fun thing is to watch people like Dave Weiner go, what is all this? Where's that? Blah, blah. Like, oh, yeah, it's been around for 10 years. Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. Welcome to 2012.
Welcome. Yeah.
I can't find that. There's a page on here somewhere that shows how many users you got. and I can't.
Yeah, I'm looking for it too. I see. What is this?
I tried slash about. That doesn't
active use about 301 active users today. Is that today?
That's active just today. There's like how many people have posted or something.
I don't know.
I think it was like 1,200. But I mean, how much do we pay a month for this? What's the cost right now?
I think
on the podcast index.social.
I think it's $20, $29.
Is that it? That's not much.
I think so. I mean, I'd have to check my bill.
check the bill and it's like 150.
Well, here pricing. Let's take a look at what they got. No, man, we have the star level because you have moon, planet, and star. Okay. Now, we started with the $9 per month planet, although I think then it was €5. Inflation, people. Yeah, the $19 a month star, which gives you medium federation capacity, whatever that means. eight processing threads. Okay. 10 gigabytes of database, 100 gigabytes of media storage, and 100 active users. Oops.
100 gigs?
No, I'm sorry. We're here. Here we are. We're in the galaxy. I'm sorry. Constellation, galaxy, that's the highest. That's 89 a month.
So we're at 90 a month.
We're at $90 a month. Shoot. That's on my credit card. Mm.
Yes. I had a sneaking suspicion that you have not been paying attention to this bill. This is based on prior experience with how Adam looks at bills, which is basically you don't until it gets shockingly high. And then you're like, oh, crap.
And then someone, right. Well, that's usually the AWS bill. It's like, wow, it's right, like $1,000, Dave. What can we do about this?
Yeah. It's been $500 or $600 for a few months. And now it's just getting ridiculous. I'm like, whoa, $500's already ridiculous, brother.
This is why I'm not a billionaire.
That was my entire reason for bringing this up was to make you go and check your credit card statement. But you know, there needs to be some sort of light. There needs to be an in between. There needs to be something that is what's that thing you showed me last week? What's Pinafore? There needs to be something that's just a interface.
Skin. Yeah.
Yeah. There needs to be something between Pinafore and Mastodon, and like where you take like something very simplistic, like a Radio 2 or a Freedom Controller type thing, and you just put in an ActivityPub module to it,
and you make it look like Mastodon on the front end, like the Pinafore.
Something like that. Yeah. Because then you don't worry about
it's called cross app comments. I've been waiting for it for 2 years.
Honestly, cross app comments done right could turn every podcast app into a Mastodon or an ActivityPub client.
Absolutely. I've been waiting for it. I mean, I'm growing cobwebs here.
Growing cobwebs. That brings up a little item that I have on my legal pad here.
Uh-oh.
Which is...
Is it a yellow legal pad?
Oh, heck yeah, it's yellow.
Can you get the notepads? Because I can't get them. They can't get them in yellow anymore. You know the ones that I mean? It's like it's not the legal pad, but it's kind of looks like a tablet.
Yeah.
Can you get those in yellow for me?
Yeah.
Could you take some from the office and send them to me? They're impossible. You can't get them anymore.
Staples? Do you want some staples?
Yeah, I'm on a red stapler. Can you give me a red stapler?
Some copier paper? What else you need?
Just say. No, I can't get any. You can't even get it on Amazon. It's nuts.
This one is like from the 70s.
That's the kind I like. That's exactly the kind I like. You got that little margin on the left-hand side. You can write some doodle shit in there. And then
little red double line that goes down the left hand.
Beautiful thing. Analog, baby.
You know, this whole Mastodon thing makes me think, and we discussed this briefly last week, this idea that people are now, podcasters are now in the Mastodon soup, the ActivityPub soup.
Yeah.
without knowing that they're in it.
I wish we had cross app comments ready. We would be blowing people's minds right now. Sorry.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is, so if you had, if you're a host, this is for podcast hosts. If you're a hosting company, you could have an immediate win with cross app comments by doing a connection, an OAuth connection.
Yeah, you're so right.
Into your UI. Say, oh, do you have a Mastodon account? Because Mastodon's popular enough now.
Yep. Look, there's journos here.
Yes, look at all the journos.
Look at all the journos.
Yeah.
Don't I you see another be one. Like them?
There goes one right there. If you had this interface, like, oh, do you have Mastodon? Connect your Mastodon to your podcast hosting account.
Yeah.
And then whenever you make a post, it will automatically cross post over to Mastodon to your account.
Yeah.
And suck the URL back in as the root post.
And make that the root post. That's right. Wait, there's another one. Another journo. Got one.
Got him. This is some people may not know that.
That's perfect, by the way. And who have you already threatened that they have to do this?
This was the initial threat.
This is the initial threat. Okay. Yes. You heard our AK, right, people? That's what we do to journos.
You have gunfire. Gunfire.
We have gunfire at our disposal.
And if you go to, if I, on
like,
your account,
I like bullying people in podcasting.
Yeah, this is highly effective.
It works wonders.
Yeah. Based on this track record, it's actually pretty effective. It is. If you go to,
don't tell anybody our secrets.
Yeah, right. It's more like a combination of bullying and badgering.
Yes. No. Like, that is a bit of the new international lifestyle. Have you ever heard Dvorak excoriate the donors?
Yes. Which is funny, by the
People
way.
People love it.
It's just like it's like cats. The more you abuse them, the more they love you. It's like this is the way journalists are. The more you abuse them, the more they love you.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day we'll get rich off of this idea then, Dave.
Nothing's worked so far. This is very doubtful.
This is the most, this is on par for all of our projects when it comes to finances.
The only person that gets rich by abusing journalists is Donald Trump. I think that's the only, Elon Musk, excuse me, two guys.
Right. All right, so I'm sorry I interrupted you, but yes, now is the time. You're absolutely, and it's not, is it? This is relatively easy to do, right?
Well, I mean, we did it in the Freedom Controller, so it's got to be easy. It can't be that hard.
In the Freedom Controller, you just, it's the OAuth, you just post and boom, it's there, mm-hmm. it's done. And that spits back mm-hmm. the URL. Yeah, of course it spits back the URL.
Yep, and there's an OAuth handshake, that song and dance that can happen, and you
drop it right in.
Just bounce it around and you're done. Yeah. This is an instant win to me.
Yeah.
I would expect Castapod did a different. They went a different route. They baked ActivityPub fully into their system. But
yeah.
If you're like us, who will probably do this? Of course, other than Stephen B. which he's probably already done it by the time we end this episode. But Dovidas over at. RSS Blue. This is right up his alley.
He loves this stuff. Yep.
Somebody do that.
What is so cool is this interop that's happening, man. That is what's so interesting to watch. And I don't it's lost on the technology crowd, mm-hmm. on the tech journos. It's lost on them. They don't I mean, it's really beautiful. I am so surprised. I didn't expect this to happen, but part of it's just whatever people in their mind had, like, oh, I'm going to leave or I need a backup or whatever it was. They came to Mastodon. I expected so many to drop off. Many did, of course, because, and some journos, I've been listening to them, like, they're not getting the dopamine hit. But most mm-hmm. people are like, wow, this is really Usenet. You know, this is, has a very heavy Usenet vibe.
I don't think that it's going to replace Twitter.
No, it's something completely different. That's the whole point.
It's additive. I think it's additive. Yeah. Because you're going to have the, what you realize when you're on Mastodon, in the Fediverse, let's just call it Fediverse. When you're in the Fediverse, you realize that your signal to noise ratio is so much higher.
Yeah.
And so you end up having, you have quality conversations there. Whereas, you don't necessarily abandon Twitter. You have to go back to Twitter to get certain types of like news, but then you're relieved to get to then close the tab in your browser and go back to Mastodon.
Yeah, but Mastodon is you get to the message you've seen before, you're done. There's nothing left to do. You can try and click the other tabs, but at a certain point you've seen it all. The algo's not going to spit anything new back at you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Fetty.
There's a visualization of the Fediverse. And you can someone posted that, I think on No Agenda Social. Maybe it was Matt. And you can see, that we are definitely, No Agenda Social is definitely somewhat separated from the larger Fetty out there because of the block lists. But our own little universe is kind of like this ulcerous growth that's hanging off the main
bulbous
growth that's malignant, clearly, that's hanging off the main glob. And if you zoom in, there's a lot going on in that glob. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Where was that? I think it must have been, I'm pretty sure it was Matt at Ariner, I should say. So anyways, it's, yeah, you were right. I'm just really, really surprised at how this is picked up. And yeah, man, we totally need to take advantage of this.
Well, if what would be great to see happen, and I think this could happen, is that you would have certain podcast hosts that would do a connector type deal, an OAuth connector to an existing account, and then other hosts. It would just go in full bore, make a commenting system, and then federate that out with ActivityPub.
Right.
There's a lot of hosting companies that are Ruby based, that are Ruby on Rails based. I don't know why that's a thing. But
well, that was very modern back in the days of early days of blogging, Twitter, podcasting. I think it was kind of in fact, I remember it was a thing with VCs. You build Ruby on Rails? Believe it or not.
it probably came because of the podcasting demographic. The early podcast demographic was, that Mac oriented. And I think there's a lot of Ruby on Rails connections with Mac.
Right.
Based companies, because I think it came out of Panic and all that. Buzzsprout's Ruby on Rails based, and Tom told me the history of it one time. It seemed very much tied to like a whole Mac culture, but Mastodon is a Ruby on Rails app. It just seems like there's a lot of overlap, cross pollination between ActivityPub, the world of ActivityPub, and the world of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And like, I see them as a natural, as a natural marriage. It just feels right to me. And so you could have some companies that say, or some hosting companies that say, look at all these, we got all this ActivityPub Ruby gems and all this code that's just here. Let's just run with it and go straight off.
Yeah,
that would be great. I'm projecting my own desires here.
No, I love it. Hey, go to fediverse.space.
Oh, fediverse.space. Maybe we need a dot space for the stats.
Ooh, I like that. By the way, I like that little JSON thing that you spit out there.
Oh, the stats thing?
Yeah, it's cool. So you see the cloud space, right? You type in noagendasocial.com and then
Is it all by itself? Nobody will federate with it.
You'll see. You have to zoom in one click and you'll see real up in the top, way the top of the cloud, there's the little No Agenda Social.
It's like, that's funny. On an island by itself.
Oh, it's totally. And if you zoom in, I mean, it's connected to a lot of stuff, but it's definitely is not connected to everything.
I don't.
Let me see podcasting. It's incredible to watch this podcast.
Mine is not working.
Index.social.
Mine just says something. My Fediverse.space says something went wrong.
Okay. One of those helpful errors. All right.
Yes.
Anyway. Hey, I, you know, it's something really wonderful happened.
Do tell.
CSB. Comic strip blogger has been a lot of people here met him through this project and have learned to understand him. He's been around me since, early days Daily Source Code. I don't even remember. I mean, so we're talking probably more than 15, 16 years, long time, 17 years, maybe even longer. And it's always been very adversarial. I can't help it. And he just has. I have met him once before.
Oh, in person?
In London, yep. So we met once. But otherwise, he's just been, you know, just kind of this always saying what I perceive to be rude things, you know, calling me out on stuff that he thinks is wrong, telling me I'm full of shit, you know. But then. So he really drove the adoption of the No Agenda album artists. We do a new piece of album art every single show at noagendaartgenerator.com. People compete to be chosen. And of course, that all of their work eventually might appear in the chapter image art. So it's a fantastic ecosystem. And we give them credit and we talk about it. We talk about the choice on the show. And Comic Strip Blogger really drove the idea of getting these artists into getting a Get Albie wallet and putting their Get Albie address, you know, their Get Albie or whatever username at getalbie.com into their profile. And so I started, actually the last three or four that we've chosen already had one. So they've gotten a 10% split of No Agenda's boosts and streams. And Comic Strip Blogger, he was one of the last four. And so he posted on podcastindex.social this, and it was really nice to hear this from him. And it meant a lot to me. He says, howdy AC, thumbs up emoji.
Ooh.
Now that I'm in the value for value split for the latest episode, I finally and deeply understand why you are so passionate about Satoshi streaming per minute, another part of V4V apart from boosts and boostograms. It gives the impression of intimate connection with the listeners. It informs that people actually listen to the podcast and not merely download it, but maybe never listen like I do with some podcasts. It's truly astonishing. It's an awesome feeling.
That's a beautiful note.
Isn't it? And from him? So, and that's the feeling that I try to explain to people is when you see that, and honestly, if you use the Get Albie, the Saturn stats package, you can watch stuff coming in live. It's something about it. I mean, we have those, one sat transaction splits that we get for the index. Sometimes I'll just sit there. I'll open up Zap wallet that does a good job. And I'll just hit on the recent transactions and just watch it flow in. Now I'm watching like micro pieces of a penny, but it's like someone listened for a minute. Someone listened for a minute. Ooh, that's probably a boost. Oh, that was a boostagram. Someone listened for a minute. And it's just, I can't believe it. You're watching people listen. That makes any sense.
It's a dopamine. It's a dopamine hit.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Not in the bad way. Like in the, it's a dopamine hit. I mean, that whole idea has been sort of poo-pooed. Like, oh, that's just a dopamine hit. I mean, like social media and stuff like that. It's not like it's a bad thing in and of itself. It's not objectively bad to have to feel a sense of reward and excitement for a thing that's happening in your life. I mean, dopamine hit is not all bad. And so like when you produce something, stick it out in the world, and then the little, the dopamine hits are coming back to you in the form of value.
Yeah. It's a different kind of dopamine hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not because it's making you angry or making you, anxious or pissed off or controversial. No, it's mm-hmm. love. It's love.
It is. It's love coin.
It's MDMA. It's podcast. I'm going to write this down. Podcast Molly is what it is, basically.
That sounds like somebody from OnlyFans, Podcast Molly. Don't do that.
I'm thinking title. I don't know about you.
Podcast Molly. I don't. I think that's the way to. I think that that's a good.
It's what it is.
Good use of social.
That's what he's explaining.
That's one of those great uses where you see technology making your life actually better and not just fueling the outrage machine.
Just making you happy. Just when you see it.
Even people even people that are ugly to you in a boostergram still makes you happy.
I know. And you can, and I love giving, you know, James and Sam and all kinds and Todd, I love giving them shit and sending them money for it. Hey, let me give you some shit. Let me give you some shit. Here's 25,000 Satoshis. Talk some smack at you.
That's fair. Yeah, no, it's a lovely thing. Speaking of, on CSB, this node also firmly confirms my suspicion that CSB has a much better command of the English language than he likes to pretend that he does. This was a well-written note.
I may have been correcting some of his English on the fly.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right.
No, he's the real deal, man. He is what he is. He's the real deal. I'm sorry.
No. By all means.
Well, I had a kind of a weird thing happen. It feels like a bug, but I'm not sure. But I want to make mention of it for the OP3 community. Are you down with OP3 community?
Yeah, OP3 lifestyle.
I love following the conversations. I have no interest whatsoever in the results personally, but I do love, well, that's not true. I love learning about, you know, how, you know, this project is basically kind of forcing people to take a look at their referral agents, make sure that everything is set properly so we're getting better counts. I think it may be shaking up some players in the industry who may or may not want to implement this in their own software. Who knows? You know, other interesting things that are taking place. And here's something that happened. And I don't know exactly where the problem is, but it may be something that OP3 should be aware of. And that is the last No Agenda show I published. Everything was fine. And then I was alerted to the fact that I had not put the ID3 tags into the MP3 file, which I typically do, and mainly the main thing being the image. If you don't bake the image in, there's a number of podcast players out there which will not show the image, even though it's in the channel, RSS, channel feed, all that stuff. So it's just, that just happens. So of course, I'm like, okay, that's kind of dumb too. I want it in there. So I go back, I bake it properly. Now I've learned that the best way to do it is to delete and then upload the new one. And that goes pretty quickly. And then, you know,
that breaks the cache. Basically.
That breaks the cache, and it's just never been a problem. I mean, I've had to replace files. It's never been a problem. Mm-hmm. Google Podcast shit the bed.
Oh no! And well, at least that's only 2% of the
more than I thought. more people than I thought. More than Dogcatcher, but not much. But like, say, double Dogcatcher.
A double Dogcatcher.
Double the dog. So maybe DDC. Yeah, maybe 12, 13 people. And I immediately asked, what's wrong with you? Why are you using Google Podcasts?
Yes, stop. Just stop it.
Stop it. Yeah. You know, why would you, do you like being old fashioned? You know,
yeah.
But I even had some very kind listeners delete the app, reinstall it, and still it wouldn't work. Even though if you went to Google Podcasts on the web, it was there fine and played fine. So there's something with the Google app, and I don't know. I don't know
if the Google Podcasts app.
So yes, I wonder if they're caching something somewhere, because that's kind of what it felt like to me, and I don't understand. And that could be in the app, but if it's at some head end or something, that could affect the numbers people are looking at.
I can't imagine what that would actually be. So when you replaced the enclosure, it had a different file name or the same
file name? Same file name.
I can't imagine what that could possibly be.
It's Google.
The only thing I can...
I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Now that, you know, these things like this, oddities like this bother me mentally. The only thing I can imagine is that somehow they're doing some sort of pass through, but they're caching, and then they see there's some sort of like cache hash mismatch. I don't know what this is. That's weird.
Yeah. Only Google, yeah. or maybe no. I think it was Google. Is there any? Is there any other? Do they have any device? I think there was some other report, and it's just like, oh, that's a Google. They're probably using Google system. I don't know. It was weird.
No. Well, one thing on OP3 front, I was listening to Todd and Roz listening to the New Media Show this week.
Was that a new one, or is that the one they did last week? It looked like it had the same title.
It was a new one. It threw me off, too. I think the title was like almost the same or something.
I did not listen to it because I thought it was somehow something had messed up. I know Mitch had sync problems with Podverse. I thought, oh, maybe whatever. Oh, okay, man. Todd, this is bad marketing. You know better than this. What are you doing? You're better than this, Todd. You scared me away from a brand new episode. And I was looking. I listened to Pivot instead. It's horrible.
Okay. Yes. Here's the problem. Last week's show, the title was Podcast Ad Rep Companies in Big Trouble. The title of this week's show is Lazy Podcast Advertising Rep.
Okay. That's what threw me off.
It had linguistic foo in there that was so similar.
Yeah.
That it threw me off too, because I almost deleted it too. I thought it was a rehash. Came back from the dead.
Okay. So was that any good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good. So number one, his liquidity was drained. So you opened a new channel to him. We got that.
Yeah, I opened up, a 2 million Satoshi channel. And and like 10 minutes later, hey, I'm going over to get Albi.
I saw that too. I was like, oh, great. Because I was trying to boost him. He was on the show. He was like, man, we must not be having a good show because nobody's boosting this. I'm like, we can't, Todd, we can't boost you. We're out of money. we're out of liquidity.
Yeah. Oh,
well. But anyway, so no, it was a good show. But one thing that he talked about on there, talked about a lot of things that interested me. But one thing is, you know, I've been trying to say for the last few weeks that what I would really love is the podcast hosting companies to make some sort of data public of trending shows or like show lists public, so that we don't have to depend on the apps themselves to release trending and whatever you call it, like trending data or top charts and things like that. Like, I would like to have recommendations of shows that are coming from the hosting companies themselves. Like, it doesn't even have to be trending or top or quote unquote top shows. It can just be, here's a list of shows that we want the world to listen to. It could be just whatever criteria that the hosting companies want. I just want lists. I want lists of shows that can be treated as recommendations, so that we can build open, decentralized recommendation points that are not based on Apple, Spotify, Google, these big, huge companies. I think the hosting companies have this data, and I would like them to give it to the community in some way, so that we can, the podcast industry should build these solutions, not not right, the huge companies.
But so the key word here is what is trending. What, I mean, you just want lists, but what data? And I can already tell you that this needs a steering group. It needs a nonprofit. It needs
a 501c3.
We might need a C4 just for the lobbying in Congress to understand what exactly the data is. How is it compiled? Are those guys jacking their own shows? I can go on like this forever on this.
I know I got a guy that can do a 990 for us. We get no. I don't even care. I want to be really clear. I personally do not care if it's a chart or top shows or trending. None of that bothers me. I just want lists of shows. So to me, a list could, coming from Blueberry, would be something like, here is 400 great Blueberry shows, period. Mm-hmm. No metrics. Nothing like, here is the 400 top Blueberry shows by download. Like, I don't care about that. It's just, actually, the more ambiguous the metrics, the better. Because you're just like, it could be a rotating list where you say...
But it reflects the hosting company's preference, whatever that is.
Yes, it reflects some sort of quality signal within the hosting company where they say, here's a batch of shows that we consider to be really good quality shows that are on our network. And that's the only signal you get from them. They don't tell you what the metric is. These shows could have 12 listeners.
Okay, I got you. We will circle back to that.
But okay, but here's what Todd was talking about. He was saying that specifically they do not want to release their top shows, like a list of here's our top shows by download, because his words were immediately everybody would start poaching his shows.
But to what end? Okay, I just got to go back to first principles. What is the point? To what? To be able to say, here's a list of cool podcasts to listen to? How can that be relevant to me? I hear about cool podcasts from you on Signal, or I read about something, or I pick something up. It's mythical to me, this podcast discovery and, you know, the best. I mean,
this is not about, and see, this is where this conversation goes always. And I want to be more clear. It's not really about discovery. This is more, so we imagine this scenario. This is really more of a programming thing. Imagine this. Here's the scenario that we hit during Freedom Controller build. Somebody installs a Freedom Controller. They set up a new account, and there's going to be a news river in there, a river of news items. Where are those feeds coming from? There's got to be a default list. There's got to be something to start with, like a seed OPML, where all these feeds are going to come from. Well, you know, we had to build that. And so we built in, there's a default list that you start with of about 50 feeds. That's what I want. I want a default place to start, because every podcast app, no matter what it looks like, is going to have some bootstrap that it has to have, where when you open the apps, you don't just get a blank screen.
Comes back to share your OPML.
Always.
And may I make a suggestion? That's where you want to get your list from. You want to get your list from individuals, and that can be aggregated. See, every single thing that works. And I understand what you're saying and I'm not quite sure why, but here's what I see a benefit of. It's that share my OPML, I think is what it is. Basically, it's your subscription list. Mm-hmm. And I find this to be very valuable. And I would love, and you know, this used to be a thing. It's like you used to have a blog role and it would be on the side of your page. And these are the things that I'm, the blogs that I'm subscribed to. But your actual feed subscription list, which people typically use to export to go from one app to the other, that's actually valuable information that can be shared and aggregated. what you're proposing when it comes from, for example, a hosting company. Well, I can tell you right now, and I'm a pretty honest guy, but at a certain point, I think some marketing might show up that would say, hey, we can even get you noticed, you know, because, you know, I'll put you on the list. I'll put you in the rotation. So, you know, that creeps in. I've worked at MTV, so I know exactly how this works. It's not, people aren't evil, but it just kind of, you know.
But isn't that okay? But that's okay. Though,
no,
right?
I'm not saying it's not okay, but isn't it better to get it from the listeners themselves? And I can identify with, this is part of what I like, although they haven't figured it out yet. Fountain is getting close to that, except they're matching people up with clips and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's really like, because you and I listen, if I were to put R2, we should do this. I will export my OPML and we'll put them next to each other. And there's going to be some interesting overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I can learn about some things that I Adam Curry might want to listen to, not some just default stuff.
Oh! I just had a.
I would like to say, okay.
If everything ultimately ends up being, if all good ideas ultimately end up being share your OPML.
Every time.
If that, let's just stop fighting it and embrace it. So,
amen.
Let's do this. Why don't I put in something into the API that's an anonymous OPML submission?
This could be anonymous, a podcast event, yes. Obviously. Moving forward,
could be, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have it, and then the apps like Podverse, CurioCaster, they can submit with their, you know, customer, client's approval, with their with their listener's approval,
mm-hmm.
An anonymized OPML list back to the index.
There you go.
And then we will index those anonymized lists and just make the, and convert those lists into a public list. That can be used by anybody who wants to have a getting started. Here's a podcast. Here's your starter list.
So now you have a public way to circumvent the most irritating thing in modern user-generated content.
Like and subscribe.
Now subscribe will actually mean something, because that subscribe will show up publicly and we can really see who's subscribing to what. Or at least what's being subscribed to. We don't need to dox anybody. Hold on a second, Dave. Coming at you right now, brother. Look at your signals. There it is. There's Adam Curry subscription list.
Oh, you just signaled it to me?
Yeah.
You did that while you were talking.
Oh, you have no idea what I'm doing here while I'm talking.
Yeah, this, all the apps, if I understand right, all the 2.0 apps. Ooh, I got your OPML. Yay.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm doing something else here for a second. Give me a second.
That's shareyourbong.com. So if all the 2.0 apps, and I think they all do now support OPML export, they have that code in them already.
Now,
so they should be able to do that.
I need to tell you a story about default lists, just so I get it off my chest. I have to absolve myself of this.
Do tell.
Radio Userland was the aggregator / blog client that Dave Weiner wrote. That's how I got interested, and that's how eventually that collaboration led to podcasting. But even before that, before we started working on that, probably a couple of years before, I don't remember the timing exactly. I saw this aggregator, like this Radio Userland, like, wow, I want my blog to be in that first list of 20 blogs. And I gave him $10,000 to put my name in there as a default.
I think you've told me this.
And I was on the default feeds list in a lot of podcast apps for a long, long time because of that. It paid off, but I'm just saying that it still feels bad. Many, many decades later, it's like, it's icky.
I feel like I can. You could have the real OPML lists
from the users. This is what I like. I think this is a very exciting idea.
Yeah, you and then the listeners have, you can have that side of things. And then you could also have the host side of things where they have their lists that they want to share out into the world.
Yes, we can put it all together. I mean, but I just think
I like
you,
this.
You got to have, I would drive it from the listeners. Mm-hmm. Have anyone can contribute. Why not? Why wouldn't, I mean, why wouldn't an app itself? Here, you know, just, you're right. We can have what, share my OPML. That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter who you are, what type of entity you are. As long as we can all share it and then we can aggregate it and come up with some fun stats or, hey, we got a lot of people, you know, we just need to have the data.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people like, you know, there's some AI, MSL, KYC, AML people out there who will do something really cool with it and come up with some cool charts and graphs and maybe recommendation engines. I don't know.
Yeah, this is what.
But it's a machine readable. I thank you for saying it. Let's stop fighting the joke.
Mm-hmm. Just embrace this world. Embrace this brave new world of this brave new world of OPML. That's 25 years ago.
Oh my goodness!
That this old professor of mine and took a class from him called Extraterrestrial Life. It was in college. One of the funnest classes I ever had, and he made the statement that all the best scientists eventually become astrophysicists. They eventually turn their focus to space, and all the best ideas are always eventually become share your OPML. And so let's just do it. Let's just go that way.
Well, now let's just be careful here about what we're doing, because you're right. Careful. All things. Just a tip, Dave. Let's be careful. It's not to go all the way. This easy does it. What was the beauty of Napster? Was it just that you could search for something and download it? Or was it, hey, I'm downloading this thing and let me see what else this dude has on his drive? That exploration was part of the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you could see the whole collection and not just the thing you wanted.
It's like, I would love to have access to, now I'm going to get fancy here because I would love to have it a true OPML file and have it foldable by whatever, like an outline. I think James Cridlin's OPML would be pretty interesting to look at.
This is crazy talk. I mean, you want crazy, you want crazy. Actual valid OPML?
I know. I'm sorry.
Instead of just a subscription list?
You and I happen to write valid OPML, but okay, everyone else, yeah, exactly. Yes, that's the crazy talk I'm talking about.
The only person younger than 50 besides us that cares about valid OPML is Christopher Isain.
Right. Well, right now he's like, whoa, he can't believe his luck. By the way, he is Share My OPML.
That's what his name. That's his middle name is Share Your OPML.
He should. Does he have an API to his stuff? Because he's got a lot of stuff going on in OPML.
I don't know. He runs like a rack of like 20-year-old servers in his garage.
Christopher, this is up your alley, brother. This is the stuff you know about. This would be cool. This is a cool idea. I like it.
So on the. Well, quick update on podping.cloud.
Yes, this seems to, I'll be honest, it's giving me a little bit of reliability issue feelings, anxiety.
No.
Well, I had a misfire with no agenda.
How did that?
I don't know
how.
But you
also missed your ID 3 tag, so how do I know? It may have been you.
Wow, thanks, IT support. Is that how you help everyone at the firm, Dave?
Yes, hey. The first thing you do is blame the user, of course. It's never my fault.
Check the caps lock, you dumbo.
Caps lock, yeah. It's a problem between the keyboard and the
brain, yeah.
And the brain, yeah. But I don't think, is there a reliability issue with Podping.cloud? It's been okay to me.
Todd hasn't successfully done a live Podping in his life. mine failed yesterday. What's going on? And all I see is Brian of London going, look, I've got 8,000 things going on. And Facebook, I can't tell you why, how rich I'm going to be off of them. And then Dave comes in and goes, well, this one broke and the AAA.2 and the BBBB is running fine. But meanwhile, Todd has, here's what's happening. Todd is trying to reach me with his live pod ping, and I'm not getting him, so I'm missing the show. And not only that, but he does a dumb title, and then I miss the show. So you're breaking up our relationship with this pod ping issues.
He's trying to reach. It's a long distance relationship, yes. And I'm interfering with this.
Well, it's like a channel. It's like a lightning channel being down. When the connection is broken, you feel that.
I cannot explain why Todd cannot send a live pod ping. I don't know what's wrong with this, but I know what the solution is. I don't know what the problem is, but I do know what the solution is.
Now, for instance, I'm sorry. We did get a live ping for podcasting 2.0. Okay, that did work.
I see it right here on my phone.
What's the solution?
The solution is the next version of podping.cloud, which we are working to get, because once we get reason code support in podping.cloud, then we don't have to rely on these alternate solutions. People can just send what they're used to. They can just send their ping to podping.cloud with a live reason code, and all these other hacky side solutions they go away.
Right.
So I think that's really ultimately the fix, and we're getting there. We've got the back end and front end talking to each other now. And thank you to Alex for rescuing me from from trying to figure out how to take this protocol buffer and send it over the socket. In a way, it was driving me crazy. I'm like, I know this is it. I know this is the thing that I've got to send, and it just would not work. And so he looked at it and he was like, oh, you can't send this in pieces. It's got to be all, you got to send the whole buffer at once. Okay. Like, I mean, I was beating my head against the wall. And he also found that I was not wrapping it in the correct type. So anyway, he was able to spot some, put fresh eyes on it and spot what I was doing wrong. So we got that working. Now it's crashing on the back end, on the Hive Writer. So, I mean, ultimately, we're trying to do this in a way that's modular as well, because ultimately we want to have more than just the Hive Writer. We want to be able to have other back end writers where you send a pod ping to podping.cloud, it gets written to Hive, it gets written to IPFS PubSub, whatever, you know, it can blast out into a whole bunch of different back ends, as appropriate.
Okay.
And so we're sort of trying to solve all these things at once designing the correct architecture up front. And the correct architecture is this one-to-many socket thing.
Yes, and you're doing this in your spare time, as is Alex, as is Brian.
Yeah.
I love you guys for this.
Getting close to the holidays has made things hard.
That's what she said. I'm sorry. I'm real punchy. We started an hour later, Dave. I mean, it's your fault, basically.
It's too. I blame 100% retro. You had way too much 100% retro. Well, the
problem is, it's not me. It's the dirty chat room.
Oh, they got you fired up.
Read your quote in the chat room, and you'll understand.
Okay. Yes. Ice Cube's. Of course, it's you guys.
They baited me. Good job, boys. You got me.
This is what I do. I do double entendre.
Yes,
just without realizing it.
To actually trigger me through the chat room. You're so brilliant.
So my most famous example of accidental double entendre is me and my wife went to Logan's Roadhouse. I don't know if y'all have those out in Texas or not.
I don't think so.
It's like a chain steakhouse place. Mm. So we go.
I'm a beef snob. I don't go to chains.
Yes, that's out again. Well, we went there for, I don't know, just a date night or something like that. And we had a couple of steaks, and then, and I'm so full. I can't eat anything else. Well, this waiter who's like, I don't know, 19 years old. He comes over to the, he comes back to the table, and he's like, hey, can I get y'all some dessert? Well, my dad has all these sayings. Like, he's just famous for these sayings. And one of his classic sayings, is when he's really full and somebody asks him if he wants dessert, he's like, I'd have to rub it on the outside because there ain't no room on the inside. So this 19-year-old guy says, do y'all want some dessert? And I said, and I flubbed it. I flubbed the joke and I said, you'd have to rub it on me. And so, and the look on his face when I said, you'll have to rub it on me.
Oh, man.
He went white as a sheet. He thought, oh, my God, this is some sort of creepy swinger couple or something. And he just turned around and walked away.
Yeah, that's the only appropriate response.
And so when he brought me the check, like, he was like an effing ninja when he brought this check. I mean, I don't know how the check even appeared on our table. It was like, and he was, I mean, it's like, he didn't even want to get close to us.
That's just too funny, man.
I forgot what I was even talking about.
I don't know. So I'm looking at these stats, and I thought this was a great little collab, and I heard Todd and Rob talking about, these stats are not useful. We need them 3, 7, 10, 14, 30, 60 days and need them right away.
Oh, yeah. Todd was not happy with my stats.
No, so. He was very demanding. But now I have a question because I don't quite understand it. So I'm looking at the JSON. I got the feed count, total episode count. Now it has two categories. It has feeds with new episodes 3 days and new episodes 3 days. What is the difference?
Oh, are you're looking at the thing I posted.
Yeah, the JSON. Mm-hmm. Dailycounts.json.
Yeah, which is immediately not the right way to. It's immediately a bad file name because it's not a daily, it's an hourly. So I've already screwed that up.
Well done.
Yeah, thanks. I'm trying to find the link so I can even see.
Oh, it's stats.podcastindex.org/daily_ What? Why are you laughing at me?
Yeah, I'm just laughing because you're having to tell me what I did, which is just classic me.
It's okay.
Stats.podcastindex.daily_counts.json.
Counts.json.
So stupid. I don't even know my own files. Okay. So feed total count, episode count total, 116 million. That's a lot. Feeds with new episodes. Okay. So feeds that have posted a new episode within 3 days.
But what is new episodes 3 days?
That's how many new episodes have been posted in the last 3 days total across the board.
Oh,
just a raw count.
Oh, okay. So in the last 3 days, it's pretty much double the amount of episodes as there are feeds with new episodes. So many feeds would have more than one episode in the past 3 days. Okay. That's very interesting.
New episodes. So over the last 90 days, there's been 5,685,338 new episodes.
Right.
Total.
But over, so I like 7 days because that seems to be the biggest. That's a big number here. Just makes sense because 10 days it drops off. So it feels like there's probably I'm just going to pick a number in between. There's probably 250,000 podcasts that update on a weekly basis that we're aware of. Does that make sense?
Well, it should be right there. What's that number on the weekly? 211,677. Yeah. That's your count right there for a 7-day period. That's how many shows have posted at least one new episode.
And someone's making a lot of money for that $1 billion that's flowing around this business, huh?
That's right. That's right.
It's got to be one guy in there who's making $900 million.
$1 billion divided by 211,000. That's a lot of money.
Which one is it?
Yeah. Who are you, guy?
Let's see. Okay. So that's these numbers, man. It's so doable to get in there and get something done, isn't there?
I think so. I mean, 338. So 5,685,338 episodes divided by 487,236 shows. So over 90 days, that's averaging, 11 new episodes per feed over a 90-day period.
Okay. So a little more than one, like 1.7, 1.4 a week or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, whatever.
It feels like that. Fine. I'm bored now.
You know what it seems like? It seems like 18 years later, and this is the amount of podcasts that are really active, and we still haven't figured out how to do advertising. Get a clue.
We got feeds with value blocks, 10,495.
Yeah, this is my favorite. This is my favorite number.
And then feeds with transcripts, 22,058.
Of which most are at Buzzsprout, I believe.
Yeah. I would probably say yes, right?
Half, I think.
Half, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that.
Look at the episode numbers. Episodes with transcripts, 534,202.
That's all me.
That's you're at least a third of that.
Yeah. I've got a lot.
But I think these...
This is great numbers. I love that. No, I love this. Mm-hmm. Don't change the name to hourly or lose it. These are good numbers. I really... And this
I'll updates, never find it again.
And this updates, let me guess, every hour?
Yes, it does. Okay. That's why it's called daily. It's because it updates every hour. Okay, I'm going to change that name. But,
okay.
But if we can just add more stuff. So, once you go down this rabbit hole, you could just... stat all the things. So, you know, like feeds with chapters, feeds that are music medium, feeds of podcast medium, then blah, blah, blah.
Stop
blah.
Right there. How are we doing with Slurpee?
I did a big import last week.
Isn't that called a slurp?
Is that I did a slurp, a spit. It's a slurp and a spit.
You sure it wasn't a suck? It was just a spit?
Stop it. Stop. I'm going to have to limit your 100% retro time before the show. This is
the reason why I say that.
It makes you too spicy.
When I had my company Think New Ideas, it was a big company, 700 people. And so we put these processes together to run. We were basically building websites, you know, but for big companies, Budweiser, Reebok, stuff like this. And it was kind of up to us. We could create whatever we wanted. Within reason, with the client sign off and back end stuff. So we had this system, which we literally called the process. And at the time, staging and production. So you'd have client services who would be, on the staging server with the client checking it all, making sure it's all good. And it can go to, it can go to production. And they literally had a suck order. That's what they had. So suck it over and send it live. And so that's where that comes from.
So you'd have to put in a suck order.
A suck order. Yes, exactly. You want to know who devised the system?
Oh, yeah. No, that would have 100% you.
People love using it, though.
See, so I had this, where the music thing is going, it's continuing to go. It just takes forever because you have to analyze all this stuff. And I don't want to pay $900 a month for a GPU instance on Linode.
No, but okay. So do we, that would be the one I'd love to see next.
Well, how many music, points. Did we talk about that last week? About the different search endpoints that there are now? So
I don't think, maybe.
That people can use now for app developers that want to index, that want to be able to search music. There's more, you can search only music podcasts now if you want to. Only find, music stuff. You want to search within music stuff and it'll just return only podcasts that have been tagged with the music medium.
That's pretty powerful. I like that.
Yeah. I just need somebody to use it.
Okay. It's chicken and the egg. It's always going to be that. If we put on our homepage, on our stats page, this many feeds, music enabled or whatever the terminology is and publish that, people will start like, oh, that's like, just like, can go to the value for value tab and I can get the value for value podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Do it for music. And that'll get people interested.
We generate our own demand.
Yeah. And then, okay, so we'll just have the traffic for now, because the only other thing, the only other app that does music that I'm aware of is CurioCaster. So we'll just keep that. We'll get that started.
Yeah, I thought about putting a little proof of concept, a little demo app up that would just do.
Oh, that's even better.
Just a single page, little nothing app that nobody's ever going to want to use as their daily driver.
Show a different layout. And by the way, Grand Duke Sir David Foley is remaking the No Agenda Roku app, which I guess that they upgraded to the version 2.0 of the Sparkle Schnizzle, whatever.
Whatever,
I don't know, some code you have to use for the, if it's not Schnizzle Sparkle 2.0, then they took the app off. So, some great developer put this together years ago. So it got taken down and we can't find the guy. He hasn't, we don't know where he is. So David's going to make a new one, and he knows how, he has all the 2.0 Schwark and Schnizzle Sparkle stuff. but he's, I know he's listening. He's also then going to put a music thing in. It's going to be interesting because the Roku, it has audience. I got people saying, what happened? I always listen to No Agenda on the Roku. It's weird, but
A great music podcast Roku app would be really cool.
Oh, yeah. It's like screaming for this integration.
Oh, I would actually use that a lot, because we do that a lot here in the house. We take, we'll use the Spotify app or Pandora or something like that just to have music playing in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, I would totally do that.
Well, you can also do it. What we want is for value, though. And David's got to put that in.
Hey, I know what you mean.
I want to see confetti spewing on my TV screen from a Roku app. That's what I want to see.
Oh, you boost straight from the remote.
Roku remote. Yeah. Maybe you can do that. I don't know. Might work.
And then eventually we'll get him to put a boost button on the remote. No, you don't want to sit on that
now
on the couch, though.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking. I like that idea.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Ice Cube Soup, about proof of concept apps, but if I make it crappy enough, nobody will want to do it. So I can solve that problem.
Wow, that's exciting. Can you also be also going to put it in this in the stats somewhere? Put the music feed. Okay, let's do that. Let's drive. We got to drive demand. Here's what happens. Everyone's sitting around waiting for us to do it, Dave. It's just how it works. Which means
we just got to do it.
Yeah. Which means you got to do it. This is the problem. There's only one of you. This is the problem.
That's how it goes. I start it, then Alex rescues me. And then we have a product. This is how this goes every time.
Well, there's a lot of smart people out there who I'm sure would love to help with some time and talent.
True.
Should we thank a few people who have been boosting us live? It's been the numbers are big today. Something's going on. Something in the air.
Oh yeah, sure. That'd be great.
I'm not quite sure why, but people are just. Oh, wait, yeah, Bitcoin, of course. What's Bitcoin?
Oh, they're boosting the dip.
Boosting the dip is what they're doing. Chad F. Pebcac, there you go. Problem exists between chair and keyboard. That's what we were looking for.
That's it.
20,000 sats. Thank you, Chad. 11,111 from NA Millennial. I really wish someone would automate the Podping process with a simple scripting language like Python.
It has been. There's an example in the repo. You don't even need Python. You can do it with
a command line.
With a shell script.
Shell script, yeah. So take that, Booster.
Booyah.
Booyah, Booster. This is 111,111 Satoshis from Source D. Lit Sticks, Archie. Thank you very much. 1212 from Tone Wrecker. There's another Source D with the same 111,111 Satoshis. I think you get a baller at this point.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
More sticks and says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Ah. Now we have 100,000 sats from Sam Sethi. Star of many podcasts. including Sam Talks Tech. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, in star of many podcasts, including ones that never published an episode.
Like the Off the Mic one, which was so off the mic, it never even published.
It was aborted before it was even born.
Sam says, I would prefer ActivityPub was defined as a listener-to-listener messaging protocol, get/post, and Boostergrams were defined as a comment from listener to creator. Oh, that's an interesting point. But agree adding Mastodon addresses to host should be a no-brainer. Also, add rel equals me to profile for verification or inside of podcast TXT or podcast person tag. So, yes, I think Sam is seeing how things are fitting together.
Yeah.
Is he? You know, everyone's talking about his secret project.
My understanding is that he's supposed to unveil said secret project at Podcast Movement Evolutions, I don't know when that is, but it's soon, I think.
Oh, will it be with like a party and a DJ and drinks?
I don't know. Booth babes.
That we call that entertainment.
That's where the $1 billion in podcasting is going right there.
Brando Sellers, 25,000. Simple old boost. What, we love that. Oops, sorry. Boost. Where's my boost?
Boost!
Brian of London, 1948. I hate to say it, but we could do everything we do on Mastodon on the Hive community. Yeah.
There it is. Really?
Yes. If you get Dave Weiner to set up a blog on Hive, I will do it too.
That's a good challenge, right away.
Okay, what else do we have here? We have the Striper Boost, 7777 from Pfeiffer, Booster Bust, and a test boost from me. Here's Dovidas from rssblue.com.
Yeah.
21,001.
Ooh.
Thank you. A Prime Boost.
Thank you, David.
Prime Boost. There you go. Thank you very much. Very cool. Todd Cochran. Whoa. 180,420.
Paula.
Holy crap, Todd.
20 inch blaze on the Impala.
So it's like code, man.
This theory is proven fully. I mean, you abuse Todd. You talk shit about Todd, and he sends us 180,000 sats. I mean,
Not just 180,000, 420. Get it?
Oh.
Just changed to get Albie because my node continues to have routing issues. But as Adam recommended, I'm going to try that for a while. Dave, looking forward to the new Podping enhancement. Thank you for providing the stats output we're looking for. This is going to prove to be very valuable. Hence the nice Satoshi boost today. See, this is...
Thank you, Todd.
That's value for value. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Todd.
Glad to do it, Todd. And anybody else that needs... I mean, if you need stuff from the API, just ask. I will always do my best to get it to you.
I think that's what we have from the live boostergrams. I think Booberry shows up on your sheet. So you want to thank these people in our value for value proposition, which keeps the entire shebang running, including $90 a month for apparently for the Mastodon host.
we've got two PayPals.
Oh, Fiat Fun coupons are always appreciated.
One is from our buddy, Franco Solario from Castomatic.
Hey, Franco.
He sent $69.69.
Nice.
He says, thank you, Adam, Dave, and all the Podcasting 2.0 gang. Thank you, Franco.
Franco, man, let me give you some noise for that.
69, dude.
He didn't say it, but I knew he wanted to hear it.
Oh, yeah, he wanted that. $25 from Lowell. I'm going to try to say this name. Lowell Brillant, B-R-I-L-L-A-N-T.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And there's no note, but thank you, Lowell. Well,
thank
really
you very
appreciate
much.
It.
Appreciate it.
We've got lots of boostergrams, but this is going to be a challenge because I am. It solved itself. It fixed itself. My email wouldn't open, but now it's open.
Oh, you know what's going to come next.
Boot!
You know, we're just moments away from that, from that, from that happening. We're ready for
I rebooted right before the show, so it's fine. It's not going to do any. There's going to be zero problems.
I love the stability of your Linux.
Yes. Chaos 99, 19,000 sats through Fountain.
Thank you.
He says, boosting the NCAA discussion. Well, there you go. I know it was boring, but we got boost for it.
What was boring?
My discussion of the NCAA of college football.
No, I didn't think that was boring. Did I say it was boring?
No, I said it was boring because I was boring myself by the time I got to the end of it.
It's pretty boring if you're boring yourself. That is an issue.
Yeah. Thank you, Chaos 99. Appreciate that. Donkey gave us 100 sats, and this is below the limit, but he says, I was wondering if I could also put my Fountain wallet address in the art generator.
Yes.
Or do I need an Albie wallet, which I don't have? Yes, you can put Fountain wallet in
there. Yeah, if it's your username at Fountain, was it fountain.fm? Then that's fine.
I think so. And you, this also answers CSB's question, because he was asking about whether or not you could, whether or not there was a, you could also use other wallets besides Albie using the Lightning address format. And Fountain is one of those. Yes.
Well, as long as it has it. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as the wallet exists. Yeah.
Well, as long as it has the known URL thingamabob set up.
I think it does.
Yeah, no, it has to. Yeah. Because that's how I look up, you know, the custom key.
Yeah. Gene Everett, 3333, and he says, boost!
Whoa, let me give you this one. You scared me.
Sorry. I snug up behind you.
Yes.
Oppie 1984. Sent us 3,000 sats, and he says, to clarify on my boost about financial ramifications, the tags discussion gave me an idea to avoid those financial ramifications through automation. Human error is currently costing the company fiat fund coupons, and this idea would reduce those errors. Also, the idea has maybe a 10% chance of being implemented, but there's an R&D position opening up soon, so I'm trying to get on management's radar ahead of the competition.
Boost.
Very smart.
There you go. Yeah. Mere Mortals podcast, our buddy Kyron, Big Row of Sticks, 11111 nice. Through Fountain. And he says, good riddance to all the good jokes.
Yeah.
Dabozak sent us 1,500 sats through Fountain. No note. Thank you. Oh, here we go. I got to read this one. It's 777 below the limit. But he says, Venom's Black Metal album was one of my favorites back in junior high. Goodness. Thanks for the nostalgic moment.
That was great.
Franco Solario also sent us 6969 sats.
Whoa.
And what else would he use besides
Castomatic?
Ghostograms. The latest two boostergrams by Franco Solario, the ones without a message, were not sent by me. Oh. Either a rogue AI has taken control of Castomatic and began sending sats on its own will during my debug sessions, or somebody is impersonating me and sending his own money in my name. Mm. No complaints.
B-O-O-S-T.
I haven't heard that. You pull that out of the bag.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Kyron's back with another 11111, and he says, unjustified confidence is actually way better than justified insecurity. You'll live a better life like that, even if you get yourself into a bit more trouble. I can't argue with that at all.
I love it.
On that, when it comes to justified belief, there's a very good book by Alvin Plantinga called Warrant and Proper Function. I would highly suggest it if anybody can get their hands on it.
And what's it about?
It's about why it's the philosophical foundations for being confident in a belief, irrespective of the quality of the proof. So you can believe, how can we know, it's like, how can we have confidence that the things we believe are true in the capital T sense, even if they are things that don't have that sort of empirical truth about them.
Sounds like a page turner.
If you're into epistemology, it will definitely be a page turner. Kyron, again, he's triple dipping. It's a 22-222 through CurioCaster. And he says, I watched the FTX debacle on many different crypto podcasts and videos and came away with a new takeaway. Many of them had been sponsored by FTX and so were backpedaling in embarrassment.
Yep.
So the advertisement model isn't just censorious, but also can cast unpleasant reflections of association. And then midway through, they would start talking about their sponsor, crypto.com or Nexo or another custodial exchange, Facepalm.
Yeah. I learned something just as data continues to come in, which I thought was interesting, which may help us understand a little bit about the reason why it could get out of hand like this. And all these so-called sophisticated people had not really seen that. There was no regulatory oversight. Turns out they spent about $2 billion on acquiring companies or pieces of companies that already had regulatory approval. They even had a heading for it, which is called regulatory acquisitions. So they were starting to pick up bits and pieces of regulatory approval by buying into or wholly acquiring companies that had some form or some version of it. And I can totally see a Sequoia Capital going, hey, you know, we're going to spend this money, but these guys are rolling up the, it's going to take forever to get regulation, but with these guys are rolling it up into one ball, they'll be able to do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So it's,
you're buying your way into the system rather than building it.
But basically, the reason why no one caught it is because it's the same way in Wall Street. It's the same way everywhere. It's all corrupt.
Did you read the initial? It's the guy that's the caretaker CEO right now that's doing all the auditing.
Yeah, I know he's the guy that stepped in for Enron.
He's the Enron guy.
That to me says cover up. That guy was pulled in within seconds. Oh,
did you read what he said, though? He blasted it from top to bottom.
Makes me feel even more certain he's covering up something. He's going to put the blame where the blame has to go.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah,
dude, a lot of people did not go to jail in the Enron thing. Some people died in jail. He's there to clean. He's the cleanup guy.
He's the hatchet man.
No, he's the clean. No. He's the cleanup guy. He's cleaning up the bodies. He's rolling stuff up in carpets. He's chopping limbs.
What he says when he points the finger, his humongous finger gets pointed in the directions that it needs to be pointed at in order for the people that it doesn't get pointed at to not have to endure any jail time.
We can't have any connection to the Democratic Party. We can't have any elite connections. We will throw celebrities under the bus. So, Tom Brady, on and on and on. That's a distraction. That's what all the news reports are.
Oh, yeah. And but on the other side, you have Mitch McConnell taking donations for his leadership campaign. Oh, yeah. I was like, it's all over the place.
But it's so beautiful because this entire sham, which was basically run by PR and people buying into the PR, is now being cleaned and covered up by the PR of, did you hear what the guy said? Sorry to make you sound dumb, Dave. Did you hear what the guy said? He was from Enron. It was a whole mess. You didn't say it like that, but that's the trick. That's the trick that's being played.
But I felt that.
Yeah, you did.
That's the way I sounded to myself in my head.
That's the trick. That's
the
trick.
It got me. It sucked me in.
Yeah. It's just practice. That's the only reason. And you know what? I'm doing a little bit of a dive on the guy, see what's going on.
Thank you, Kyron. Appreciate it.
Hey, Kyron, thanks for getting us on that track, whatever that was all about.
12345 from SLC. Through Fountain, and says Argyle Park, Christianesque industrial metal techno.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
Argyle Park, ARGYLE. Hmm. Haven't heard of them, but I'll give them a check. SLC, again, 12345. Blue Wallet got me my first KNC box. Oh, nice. Made burgers for the fam. The keeper needs time to get used to grass fed. Go beef casting.
Have you finished your ground beef, Dave?
I've got one package left. I've been eating a hamburger at 9 o'clock in the morning every morning for the last 3 weeks.
And how you feel?
I'm feeling good. I think the protein has made a big difference.
Do you think you think it has made a difference? It's for your next order. If I just to try something different.
Okay.
If I can recommend Holy Cow Beef, Holy Cow, they're in Lubbock, Texas. And they send, you can buy the primal ground beef from them. And that is ground beef, but it includes heart, liver. They grind up all the good stuff in there. And
oh, the organ meats.
Yeah. Yes. And we tried some the other day. We were both like, oh, do we have to hold our nose? Nothing. It's just beautiful. You don't take, there's no, I mean, don't eat it raw, but there's, you know, there's no weird taste or smell or anything like that. And okay. We both felt really good after eating it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll definitely do that. All right. Yes. Thanks. Cool.
That's for the next one. And it's a different flavor profile. You know, they have different cows. So it'll be fun to try it.
It's a little more, it's probably a little more irony. Does it have a little bit more of a livery type flavor to it?
Tina made taco meat with it, and it was just like great taco meat.
Oh, sweet.
Cool. It was spicy because she spiced it, but it, you know, it wasn't like, tastes like spicy shit liver. No, I didn't have that. No, not at all.
Anonymous 22222. Thank you, Anonymous. No note. 250 sats from Linda's gone. He says, "Wee." Okay. Boost. David, 1,000 sats. First boost to new beginnings. Boost.
Welcome, booster.
3333 from Captain Egghead. No note from Podverse. Thank you. 6969 sats from Hey Citizen through the Podverse app. And he says, the molested podcast indicates on the doll where the insertions were performed. Stop it. Stop.
Really? Really? Yeah, hey, citizen.
Let's see. Blind Ape sent us 100 sass. Oh, that's, I'm getting all out of whack here because I'm reading.
I'll say. What are you reading? What are you doing?
I got my email out of order. Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm back. 10,000 sats from Sir Doug. And he just says, boost.
Boost.
Boost. Floydian Slips sent us 5,000 sats. Through CurioCaster. And Floydian Slips says, hugs and kisses.
Oh.
Let's see. Comic strip blogger. Oh, you know what? Comic strip blogger.
The Deliminer?
But he messed me up because he changed his boost amount.
That's right. He's boosting the dip for us.
He's boosting the dip, yeah. So I'm going to come back to comment strip blogger.
Okay.
Brian of London and Hive DAO, 59,913 sats. Thank you. Every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn. Oh, that's, who was that? Is that
Warrant. Skid Row? Warrant. Poison.
Every rose has its
thorn. Every rose has its thorn. Every cowboy sings the same old song. I love it when the delay kicks in and we're singing. If someone asked us to sing that way, you couldn't do it.
this is the Jerry's Kid podcast.
No, because you're exactly right behind me where it still works. It's syncopic.
Oh, beautiful. It's the beauty of clean feed.
Yeah, it is.
Booberry, 33333.
Yay.
From the Boost CLI, and he says, on last week's mystery index listing, podcast ID 5793896, recently I discovered that you can view the RSS feeds for Mastodon profiles. There was only one logical question to ask. Can I list a Mastodon feed in the index? Setting out like a lead cast in a Tarantino film about... What? I don't know what he's saying. Setting out like a lead cast in a Tarantino film about SCIS? SCISS?
I don't know.
You lost me, Booberry. Yeah. I was right there with you, brother.
Up until the end. If a Mastodon feed magically has an enclosure, you can.
Do they have enclosures?
I don't believe so. Interesting.
Or do they just have HTML? I bet they just have HTML.
Let me check. Right now, podcastindex.social is grinding. We're in our galaxy level of service.
We are galaxy level.
We are the galaxy level. So I just do.
Oh, wait. I've got a follow-up note from him. I've got a follow-up note.
Second part. Part two.
The boostergram got cut off. So okay. He says,
all right.
Setting out like a lead cast in a Tarantino film about scissors, I pulled the BTS feed up and hacked away, combining info format from both feeds. This homemade one looks like Fetterman's monster, not a joke. I was eventually able to make the index list public posts, index list public posts from my account. What I found is you can toot MP3s on Mastodon and have those appear in the index with enough nudging, thus producing a boostable toot.
Oh,
is that? Is that true?
I don't know, but I'll tell you that what I'm learning here is that podcast index.social RSS feeds are version 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And they declare the Yahoo Media RSS namespace.
They should be declaring the podcast namespace.
Well, it's yes, of course they should.
Well, I don't know exactly what black voodoo he is doing, but he for sure has gotten toots to show up as episodes in the index.
What?
I don't understand this.
Wait, on that index ID?
Yeah, I just posted it in the chat room. It's 5793896.
Oh, look at that.
I don't understand what he's doing.
There's
here.
There's something spooky going around these here parts.
So that's what plays.
Spook me, bitch.
Whoa. Oh, crap.
That's interesting. So he has two episodes. The first, and it says there's something spooking going, and then this goes to spook.social.
So it looks like he's embedded something. If I follow the Mastodon link on spook.social.
Mm-hmm. He uploaded audio. Well, let me take a look at this RSS feed.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Wouldn't that be nuts if you can... Oh, this page is not available. Okay, so he's hacked something non-standard, I guess.
www.feed.behindtheschemes.com/bbfeed.xml.
Yo, that's not his Mastodon feed.
We're going to have to... Yeah, we're going to have to figure something out here.
I don't see these posts on his Mastodon, per se.
All right, Boobery.
All right, man.
Code or it didn't happen. Let's see. Boobery again, 80,008.
Woo!
Big boob donation, he says, through Podcast Index. He boosted through the Podcast Index website.
That's a massive boob donation.
Uh-huh, 80,000. I feel like that's a big baller. Don't
baller,
you?
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
That's a double D boost.
This past Monday, we played a game of chess on air for BTS. The next day, I took the video recording of the match, massaged it, and produced a 45-minute GIF of the game. God almighty. You're a madman. You are a total madman. Slide that bad boy into your chapters when the game starts, and boom, you get real-time-ish playback of chess in a nude podcast app. This goes out the window if you skip around or listen at a faster rate.
So, wait, there's another link here. So he's jacked this on Podverse. Oh, man.
God,
I love this. This is like, oh, there it is. Okay. So if this, I hit this.
Was not able to prepare.
Okay, so then I should
tonight.
See this in the chapter, and okay. It should be...
My only logical...
hold on a second. Shouldn't I see the chapters here somewhere? A chapter, here we go.
This is not just scissors. This is way beyond scissors. This is like...
Hedge cutters, or whatever you call
hedge
them.
Hedge clippers,
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I see it.
How big is a 45-minute GIF? That's got to be like a 300 meg GIF.
I don't know. Can I save image? Yeah, BTS chapter chess long. Let's take a look. I'll tell you how big it is. I hope people actually enjoy us doing dumb stuff. 6 megs. Not too bad.
Oh, that's not bad. It must be. Is it
6 megs of chess GIF?
Is it 120 by 120?
It's the standard size. Chess GIF. Wow. That's a new one for me.
All right. You're a madman.
One of these days people will figure out the incredible utility of the chapter, images, links, all of it. Follow up for your advertisers, even if you want people. Come on, let's get it together, will you?
We're giving you the tools. Do stuff with it.
Go fish.
Comic strip blogger, the Delimiter, 33,015 sats.
Yeah, comic Fountain. Strip blogger.
He says, Dave and Adam, may you and your listeners be invited to embrace the unavoidable fourth industrial revolution by putting an AI.cooking into your web browsers or podcast apps. Featuring multiple articles charting the AI revolution, knowledge and history corners, all covered by former crypto day trader and two-time parent, Gregory Foreman. Yo.
Thank you so much, Comicster Blogger.
Boost.
Well done. Thank you all. You have monthlies? What do we have?
Monthlies.
I'm sorry. Monthlies. Okay, monthlies.
Sir Alex Gates, Knight of the Podcasting 2.0 Project. $25, the one and only night, I might add, of the Podcasting 2.0
Thank you very much, Alex.
Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Derek Visker, Derek J. Visker, that is, $21. David Norman, newly resurrected.
Hey,
David
back,
Norman.
And he's a Texan now, I understand.
He is. He portaled. Mm-hmm. He teleported to your state. $25. Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
Damon Kasajak, $15. Jeremy Gerds, $5. Timothy Hudgens, my buddy, saw him last night at a school thing, $25. And David Woodfine, $3. That's our group.
Thank you all so much for supporting the Podcasting 2.0 podcast project, keeping the machines whirring, keeping everything running, keeping Slurpee sucking, all the stuff that needs to happen. Time, talent, treasure, all of it is very much appreciated. Podcastindex.org at the bottom, you can find a link to the PayPal for your fun fiat fun coupons. And of course, we'd like you to get an app that has a boost button. Thanks, James. I'm stealing that from you. If yours doesn't, go to newpodcastapps.com or the ultra cool version, nudepodcastapps.com. Get yourself an app that boosts and boost us to your heart's delight, especially during the dip. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us very, very much. Now, I got to keep you on time. So if you want to start an argument, then now is the time. I got to get you back to the office, man. You're busy, busy. When does this end? We miss you.
No, I am off the rest of the day.
Oh.
I took the rest of the day off.
Oh, okay. I thought you had to go back.
We started late, but we got time.
No, yeah. I thought you had to go late or you had to go back to the office.
No, man, I'm good to go for today. I am off next week for the Thanksgiving holiday, which brings up a point.
Well, we're both
off. We will not be having a show next week.
Yeah, we will not be having a show for the Thanksgiving festivities. Quite honestly, I don't know of any corporation anywhere that has a board meeting between basically on Black Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there'll be no board meeting. Now, what's interesting is the week after that, I hope to be able to conduct the board meeting.
I think we can, and I think it's going to be a similar thing to today. I've got to do a presentation, actually a Bitcoin presentation for a bunch of lawyers. So it's like a CPE thing for them. And so I'm going to do that. And that's at like 11 o'clock. So I should be, and I'm just going to take the rest of the day off after that. So I'll be, I should be able to hit the show around 2 o'clock, I think.
And that is Friday the 25th.
No, Friday the 2nd.
Okay. Here's the thing. I may not be capable of doing the show
because you're having your mouth surgery that week,
right? On Tuesday.
Yeah.
So okay. We're thinking it should not be a problem, but let's just know that we might have to do it Saturday.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. We'll just play it by ear as you feel, you know, based on your health.
It's just, if I can talk, that's all.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be so gauzed
they
up,
hit
man.
Me with the wreck and ball. I am so anxious about it.
Are you nervous?
I've never been knocked out. I've never had any. I'm more nervous about the anesthesia than about the procedure. And then I know once the procedure's done, then I just know, you know, it's a process, temporaries. I have a bone transplant because of, you know, bone loss. So that has to heal. So that takes 2-3 months. Then the actual implants come. So it's just, hey.
Man, you know, I feel sorry for you, brother.
No, I appreciate it, but I should have done this, honestly, 8-9 years ago. I should have, this is, it's just, hey, you know, some people got a weak heart. My mm-hmm. head's falling apart. What can I say? Everyone's got something. This is me. this is my thing. This is my mechanical. You know,
mouth stuff.
But it's important. That's why I have to do it, because it's so important for your overall health.
It is.
Really affects your health in crazy ways.
Now you're thinking, you were told by the dental surgeon that this is going to help your sinuses too, right?
Yeah. We couldn't figure out why I was so allergic after, you know, never having that in my life and then moving to Texas, and it was kind of coincidental, but yeah, I've had this low level kind of infection up near my my upper molars, and they have been, so whenever I eat, which I always thought, oh, I'm going to a restaurant in Austin, boy, oh, there it is, I've got the allergy again. No, I'm chewing.
Oh, and it's releasing the...
Yes, and that sets it off, and then, you know, then the sinuses start flowing, and then you're done.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's crazy we always look for things. We look for, what do you want to call it? Like a causation. You know, look for correlation.
Oh, yeah. For 10 years.
Yeah. And it makes so much sense that it was this one thing, but it's not. It's this other thing.
And all it took was a 5-minute CT scan, which I'd never done one of those. But that's, you know, you put your head in there. Okay. And then, let's go take a look. Drill right down through your head. Oh, look, there's the inflammation right underneath. Side view, rotate, enhance, zoom, arrest him.
Track is up. Track the killer's IP address.
Oh, wait, I see something in the reflection on the bumper.
Let's see. Alex Bosworth.
Yes, from Balance of Satoshis.
Yes, the Balance of Satoshis.
The guy.
Tool. If people don't know what Balance of Satoshis is, it's written in JavaScript, but it's a command line tool to let you pull all of your transactions. It does a lot of stuff. I mean, it's like a Swiss Army knife of Lightning node management. But one of the things it does, it has an accounting function, so you can run Boz. That's the name of the tool. BOS Boz space accounting space, and then a bunch of options, command line switches to pull down your Lightning node transactions for certain time periods and things. And then you can also say, okay, resolve it to fiat. So it will produce this nice CSV file of, let's just say, all of the transactions for the month
if it doesn't run out of memory after 3 hours, running everywhere. I gave up on Balance of Satoshi, except for doing report. I think report, just I could get a report out of it, but nothing. I couldn't do anything else.
Okay. Well, through working with him on that issue, because I was trying to, on a monthly basis, what I do is download, I use Boz, or I was using Boz, to download all of the transactions out of our Lightning node into a CSV file for the month. So as soon as, let's just say, as soon as June 1st hits, I'll grab all of May's transactions into a CSV, and that way you can have it resolve the sats into fiat on the fair market value of the day that the transaction happened,
That's so cool. And Boz does that, right? It looks up the day, even the time, or just the day closing price.
I think it's the closing price of the day. Okay, and it's enough. You can go through one or the other. You can go through CoinDesk or CoinGecko to resolve those amounts.
Right.
And it was working fine until April. Then when I tried to pull May's, this has been a few months ago, it just crapped the bed. I mean, like it crashed, memory exhausted, done. I'm like, okay. So I haven't been using it since. And I was like, okay, well, sometime by the end of the year, we'll have to get this resolved, because we'll need to pull our accounting for taxes. So I started getting in there. Well, I couldn't get it to work. Through working with Alex Bosworth in the Telegram channel, we went back and forth, and he found the issue and fixed it.
Really? What was it?
Yes. It was just a memory management thing. He was pulling, he said that it's got to do with the way he was pulling the settled invoices out. he was pulling them all at once and then filtering rather than pulling just the filtered invoices. That's my layman's understanding of what he was doing. But he pushed a couple of changes. Finally, we found the right combination of things and it's fixed. So then I ran it and it took about 9 hours to run.
Whoa. For what? For 1 month?
No, for May through October.
Ugh.
So I ran month 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So it took 9.5 hours and it produced, it's like 2,900,000 transactions.
Oh man. What version is the update in? Do you know?
It's 13.5.1.
Oh,
I think
gosh.
Is where the fixes are.
I'm on 11. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, you're way behind.
I must have to get a different repo or something.
I had the stats, but I can't find it. But I was trying to find the exact count. But there was a lot of transactions. So we're well over 5 million transactions now. Wow. In our L&D database.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sick.
What's even crazier is that no one in any of the initial development lightning labs anywhere, no one has anyone really considered that this would be used for, I don't know, micropayments.
Right.
This is what gets me. It's just insane.
But it works. That's the even more insane part is that it works somehow. These millions of transactions, it just keeps on chugging.
Well, you know, and do not discount the community. You know, I've been reading a lot about networks, particularly, you know, my interest in networks has always been there, but you know, kicking a G20 member off of Swift, you know, what kind of implications does that have? I'm interested in networks. And ultimately, the network is a network, but it's what's connected to the network. And our nodes, our peering, our routing with the players, with the players. We got the players. They got the swagger. We have Breeze. We got Albie. We got LMP. Fountain. It's like the players are connected, and we got the smaller individual nodes, and there's all kinds of people like, was it Orson Welles or whatever, Steve Jobs, who comes in with 10 million sat channels. And it's the community that makes it work. Otherwise,
Justin Trudeau.
That's what. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work at all. So chapeau bas, everybody. Good job, everybody. That's a wrap. Well done. Well done for today. Okay. Or just something else.
I had one more thing I wanted to throw at you.
Sure.
I feel like we can do some sort of lightning liquidity checker.
Oh, yes. You were pinging me about this. Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to go too far down this hole, but I feel like that could be a thing that we offer. Because, and here's the way it looks to me in my head. Let me just hit you with this thing. If we rule out the big nodes. So anything, we just look at all the, we look at the node IDs. It's okay. We're not going to bother checking anything that's on LNPay or anything that's on Albi or Fountain or whatever. Like we just kind of toss those out. What you're left with is going to be mostly private nodes. So people like Todd who are running their own umbrals and things like that. On a periodic basis, I don't know, once every few hours, 6 hours or so, we just do a test route to them and see if a payment would fail. We don't even have to send anything. We just do a test route payment and see if it would not route. We display that status somewhere to them, or I don't know. That's the part I don't know about is how to make that public, but we could make that that information available as basically trying to give an early warning system to, hey, you're having a liquidity issue.
It's a nice thing to do. I'm a little worried that it's just fixing an ephemeral problem.
Hmm.
This is all going to fix itself. Todd's problem fixed itself. He went to Albie.
Yeah, I guess I just don't want to. I don't want to force people to go to custodial.
But it's not our job. It's the Umbrals of the world to do a better job. The Start Nines of the world. This is their job. This is their job. It's also Breeze, and it's also the Lightning service providers. Those they're ramping up. They're going to come in and start offering. You don't have to. This is what I love about the Breeze wallet. I have $500 in Satoshis in my Breeze wallet, and that's what I use to pay for stuff. And why do I love it? I don't have to think about the liquidity ever. Mm-hmm. It's just there.
I guess you're right.
Well, we have so much to do, and I know you just, I know you as much, you hate as much as I do. It goes like this. Post a picture. Your shit's broken.
Yeah.
And then you look at it and like, well, you know, then you got to go through the dance, you know, what app are you using, where you're boosting from. You got to look, where's your, it's just like, it's all going to, I think it's going to get solved. I mean, everything points towards liquidity being managed in a self sovereign way. That you'll just be renting the liquidity, but it's still your keys. You own the transaction power, et cetera.
Yeah, and if your liquidity provider bails or something, you just go get another one. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess so.
This is building out so fast. I mean, I wish I had time to learn to code, because I had this every day I wake up, there's another. I was listening to some podcast. And this actually may be the stuff. It reminded me of, I think, what happened to Sphinx. Maybe they were getting into this. And there's a company that's now going to electricity providers. So, mm-hmm. like, go to the co-op here. And their pitch is, would you like to get your money faster?
Yes.
And they all go, yeah, because they're dealing with, you know, month-long turnaround times, risk of people not paying after 30 days or not being able to pay. And so they're doing, in essence, value for value streaming of Satoshis for megawatts or for kilowatts or for watts.
And, oh, wow.
And so, yeah, okay. So you fill up your energy wallet, and every kilowatt that you use, you know, you pay your 8, 9, 10 cents. In sats at the market price at that moment, at the moment you use it.
Huh.
And that's
pretty clever.
And it cuts out five steps in between, because along the way, they've basically seen that you can do splits, because it's not just the electricity provider. It, you know, there's all these different pieces down the line, including where your co-op gets their electricity from. So you can split it all off right away and strip out, I think they calculated between 10% and 15% money that's just lost, that ultimately you're paying for as a customer because of the inefficiencies of the system. So, I mean, I just wake up in the middle of the night with these ideas. And my urge is to call you, and I think, oh, no, we already have a great project going. What am I doing?
I got a great idea. Let's do energy.
All I want, my life would be perfect if you too, Dave Jones, could retire from corporate life. Everything else is fine for me.
Yeah.
Working on it, bro. Yeah, I love you too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, my brother. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you all for being with us for yet another wonderful year at Podcasting 2.0. So we'll be back in 2 weeks for another board meeting. Join us, will you? It's mandatory.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Yes, booze.
Podcasts are cool.